Good morning, and welcome to First Parish in Lexington. My name is Ben Soule, and I am one of the worship associates here at First Parish. We are a Unitarian Universalist church wherein we celebrate the worth and dignity of every person and encourage all to undertake a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. If you are a first-time visitor here at First Parish, thank you for coming and joining us for our Sunday worship. If you want to find out more about our congregation, join us for refreshments and conversation following the service in the parish hall through the doors to my left or my right. There you can also visit the welcome kiosk, or you may fill out one of the cards in front of you in the pew rack. In your order of service, you will find announcements and a calendar of what's happening this afternoon and for the rest of the coming week. Also check the online weekly update for other events. As you are silencing your electronic devices, please take a moment to greet those around you. Let us now deepen into worship with the musical introit.
Good morning. Welcome as we gather together on this first Sunday of the new year. We gather with the dust of the holiday season still clinging to our hearts and spirits. We gather with part of us looking backward at the year just past, and part of us looking forward to the promise of a new year. We gather to reflect on what has been and to create space in our lives for new possibilities to emerge. It's good to be together at the start of this new year. So join me as we sing our opening hymn, number 126, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Feel our love grow like the sun. Come now, fount of inspiration, turn our lives to higher ways. Lift our bloom and desperation, show the promise of this day. Help us find ourselves in Newton. Help our hands up of our love. With thine aid, O fount of justice, earth be fearless ever.
We light our chalice this morning with the flame from the caves, the torches, the oil lamps and the lanterns, and the hearth fires of our ancestors, in the hope that those who follow will do the same. Please join in the chalice lighting response found at the inside cover of your order of service. Let us speak now together the words of our unison affirmation, our promise that we make to one another each Sunday. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its love, and service is its prayer. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony with the divine. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. It is so good to be back with all of you. I hope everybody enjoyed the return of winter as well, which is fun but icy. So in December, most of my time with you, I was sharing the lighting of candles. There was a lot of fire in December for me. And today I bring you some more fire, although you personally won't see it unless you wish to after the service. But we have a roaring fire going this morning down in Parker Hall. And what we'll be doing with the kids later on this morning is we will be doing some guided meditation, and we will be doing a burning of what we wish to leave behind in 2015. And so I'd also like to give the opportunity for all of you who are up here to be able to send something downstairs that I can burn for you that you would like to leave behind in 2015. Whether it's, I said I was going to exercise and I didn't, but I really am this year. Anybody have that one? Said I was going to eat more kale, but I really didn't. I ate more jelly beans. Yeah, there's options, but also there might be some larger things for you that you might want to leave behind in 2015. You might want to leave behind self-doubt. Perhaps you spent too much time in 2015 doubting that you're capable of amazing, beautiful, wonderful things in your life. Maybe you wish to leave behind in 2015 the idea that you are anything other than amazing. There are other things that you might wish to leave behind in 2015. You might wish to leave behind illness. I know many of us struggle with health problems, and so there might be the idea that, you know what, this year I'm going to focus on the healthy parts of me. Yep, there's unhealthy parts of me too. We all have unhealthy parts of us, but I'm going to focus on the healthy parts, and I'm going to leave behind the unhealthy back in 2015. So I'd like to share a poem with you. This poem is by Dana Falls. And after I share the poem, I'll invite you into our ritual. Let it go. Let go of the ways you thought life would unfold, the holding of plans or dreams or expectations. Let it all go. Save your strength to swim with the tide. The choice to fight what is here before you now will only result in struggle, fear, and desperate attempts to flee from the very energy you long for. Let go. Let it all go and flow with grace that washes through your days, whether you receive it gently or with all your quills raised to defend against invaders. Take this on faith. The mind may never find the explanations that it seeks, but you will move forward nonetheless. Let go, and the wave's crest will carry you to unknown shores beyond your wildest dreams or destinations. Let it all go and find the place of rest and peace and certain transformation. I invite you now to find the slips of paper and pencils in your pews, to write on that slip of paper what you wish to leave behind. And for our young people who are going downstairs, you can do this twice. You can do it now and then again with us downstairs. But I invite you to write down what you wish to be in that piece of paper to leave behind in 2015. And we will listen to some music while we do this. And as we have a time of contemplation, after you've written on your slip of paper, I invite you to come forward and place it in this bowl. And I will bring the bowl downstairs and put them all into the fire. And then later on, if you wish to go look at the fire in Parker Hall, you can have a moment to say goodbye to your 2015. Thank you all so much. I will offer these to our fire downstairs, and you can leave all of that behind in 2015 and look forward to your new beginnings in this new year. I'd like to invite our, I think, five young people to join me downstairs. We'll have an activity. And please join in singing our departing blessing.
Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is a poem by John O'Donohue, For a New Beginning. In out-of-the-way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered, heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondered, would you always live like this? Then, the delight, when your courage kindled and you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plentitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is at one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you.
Thank you.
second reading this morning is a poem, Hoarfrost and Fog by Barton Sutter. I walk 6 blocks to the park, hoarfrost and fog and 10 below zero, a full 12 inches of snow. No one believes in the mysteries anymore, but still, once or twice a year, this will happen. Hoarfrost and fog and snow all at once. I don't often notice my breath, but here I am, breathing and breathing. And here is a kid in a scarlet parka, pulling a sled through the sugar bush. He knew all along this would happen. I forget. And yet once, maybe twice a year, we enter this other kingdom. We're here. And here is a woman, so black and slender and thin. I think of a statue my friend brought back from Liberia. She is waiting around with a camera, as if she could capture this hoarfrost and fog that is softer than breath. We smile. She hesitates, and then decides she will speak. She says, "Oh, in my country, where I come from, we have many amazing things, but there is nothing like this. I would like you if you could take my picture." I fiddle with a little black box, back off, watch her smile, and say, "Can you fit all this everything inside the picture? Do you think it will show?" "I don't know," I tell her. "I'll try." My fingers are cold, the shutter is stiff, but it clicks. The fruit tree behind her is heavy with frost, the apples are red. A withered but red. There is fog in the background. The snow is nearly up to her knees. I breathe and I breathe and I breathe. Let us now sing hymn number 56, Bells in the High Tower.
Bells in the high tower ringing o'er the white hills, mocking the winter, singing like the spring rills. Bells in the high tower in the cold foretelling the spring's upwelling. Bells
January morning, my college friend, Steve, and I walked purposefully along a country lane in the misty, near darkness. past brown fields and thatched farmhouses where lights were just starting to appear in the windows. We had left our bed and breakfast in Amesbury and were pacing off the miles, hoping to reach Stonehenge before other people arrived. We talked very little and in hushed voices, in the anticipation of seeing the sun's first light between the standing stones. We wanted to experience the ancient mysteries of that place, its secrets hidden by time. Time. Stonehenge is a place that defies time with its timelessness. And it is likely that time, the harnessing of time, was the reason the Neolithic Britons pulled enormous stones for miles to a Salisbury hilltop to create a huge device that captured a single ray of sunlight at dawn on the winter solstice, marking the time when the days would again grow longer, that the time of warmth and planting would return. Other unrelated Neolithic people around the world created clocks that would mark that same day. Puerco Pueblo in Arizona, New Grange in Ireland, Coquino in Macedonia, Chichen Itza in Mexico, among many others. Being attuned to the cycle of seasons was clearly critical to the earliest civilizations that depended upon agriculture. And even today, we continue to observe the ancient celebrations, especially around the winter solstice, because like our ancient forebears, we in the higher northern climes still need the comfort and assurance that the warmth will once again return. Susan Cooper, in her poem, The Shortest Day, writes, "So the shortest day came and the year died. And everywhere down the centuries of the snow-white world came people singing, dancing to drive the dark away. Through all the frosty ages, you can hear them echoing behind us. Listen." I realized a few years ago that over the course of my life, I had been collecting my own seasonal markers. They aren't associated with a particular day on the calendar, but most of them occur during the transitional seasons of fall and spring, the approach of winter, and winter's retreat. I call them my little seasons. And just as the ancient solstice markers told of the waning of the light and its return, they are my small reminders of where we are in the Earth's swing around the sun. Fall brings the first chilly morning when I choose, with a small sigh of resignation, jeans over shorts as I dress for work. Later comes the night when Orion is fully emerged in the east as twilight turns to nightfall, and the day when cardinals return to our neighbor's bushes. And when the morning sun has dropped low enough to blind me through the kitchen window as I eat breakfast, I know winter has set in. These are the bookmarks on my mental calendar. They tell me when to start my preparations for the approach of winter, preparations both physical and mental, the hunkering down and the hunching of the shoulders against the seeping cold. But in late winter comes the first scent of a skunk and the ice lifting off the sidewalk where I crunch it as I walk downtown. Later, the red maple buds tell us it's time to get out the taps and buckets for maple sugaring. When the willows turn yellow across the fields by the road, I know we are close. And finally comes the day I choose shorts over jeans when I dress for work in the morning. These two are my bookmarks, reminding me to release winter's burden and straighten my shoulders again. Here again, the words of the hymn. Bells in the cold tower midst the snow of winter, sound out the spring song that we may remember. Bells in the cold tower after the long snowing come months of growing. Time can be seen as cyclical, but we can also view it as linear. Since the time humans started recording history, they were able to track the events of their tribes, their nations, and the world. In linear time, each year is different from the one before. And so it is with our own lives. We each have our own personal history that we carry in our memories. For those among us of a certain age, each year seems to pass by a little faster than the one before, and some of the years get a bit more blurred. but our personal timelines, holding the people, places, smells, and feelings of the significant events of our lives, are one of our most cherished possessions. As we can look backward in time, so too are we able to look forward, to plan ahead, and to seek, or at least allow, new things in our lives. Many people use the beginning of the new year as a time to look back at the old year and ahead to the one just born, as the name January, after the two-faced Roman god Janus, reminds us. As an interesting aside, many cultures over the centuries have celebrated the new year at differing times, ranging from the autumnal equinox to the summer solstice. But I expect that a retrospective and a prospective glance is part of each New Year's Day, no matter when it is observed. So, what do we do with this opportunity that the calendar presents to us? I have to admit, at this point, that I find it hard to make and keep New Year's resolutions, so it is perhaps presumptuous that I am encouraging others to do what I can't do very well for myself. Maybe then this homily is really directed to myself, and you are just eavesdropping as I muse out loud. But there might be something you can glean from it. So I'd like to take another look at how we consider the next piece of our lives. If specific New Year's resolutions don't work, we might consider widening our view. Perhaps what we need to do is to open ourselves to new possibilities, to be more attuned to our inner voices and to the unfulfilled or broken places within us and in our relationships. To watch out for the chance to try the thing we always needed to do or wanted to do. To look for a way to make someone close to us a little happier. The clues that something important could be right in front of us are there, but it's possible we've never really seen them before. Part of seizing these opportunities is to make room for them. Making spaces in our lives allows the opportunity for the unexpected to walk in the door. Spaces can be made in our calendars, but more important are the spaces we make in our expectations, or in the way we see ourselves, or in the way we see the world. To accept the invitation to the next great thing in your life, there has to be a place for it to enter, take root, and grow. So, for myself, I will be keeping my eyes open for another little season that marks the time when I can leave behind an unnecessary weight, such as fearfulness, or anger, or pettiness, and find a way to improve a skill, revive a forgotten passion, create beauty, deepen a relationship, heal a broken place. I choose to believe these are not resolutions, but opportunities, gifts I can give to myself and perhaps to others. I hope saying this out loud will help me during this year and in the next one too. And maybe this wish will find a place in you too, and open the door to the unknown discoveries that are just out of reach, but not beyond possibility. Rooted in our past, we look ahead with hope and joy to the path we walk together. To support our common vision, the morning's offering will now be received.
Thank you.
invite you now into our time of meditation and prayer. We begin with a spoken prayer, then have several minutes of silence, and then you are invited to light a candle in the back of the sanctuary for a joy or concern that is on your heart. We begin by remembering these people in our community who we are holding in our hearts. Linda Coyne, who fell this week and broke her pelvis. She is now recovering at home. And Becca Schrum, who continues to recover at home after quadruple bypass surgery in December. We give thanks as we gather this morning. Today we bring all of who we are and lay it down so that we may rest in this sacred place. Spirit of life, bless us as we open our hearts. We are here after a holiday season filled with cooking, eating, decorating, and the effort of trying to make all things merry and bright. We have experienced the joy of being with loved ones and the sadness of being alone or missing those who are not with us. We have heard squeals of delight and seen tears of disappointment. We bring hearts full of gratitude for all we have received and bodies that are weary from too much of everything. We are here at the cusp of the new year, eager to begin anew, promising to make changes, and hopeful for what lies ahead. Blessed is the spirit of life. Blessed are the endings and beginnings. Let us now share the desires, hopes, and concerns of our hearts after a moment of silence.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 350 in the Gray Hymnal, The Ceaseless Flow of Endless Time, number 350.
Be reflections of the beauty, peace, and joy that is possible in the world. And may your passage from season to season be blessed, eased by hands to hold, and guided by the light of love. May it be so. Now let us sing our closing response on the inside cover of your order of service. Be seated to enjoy the postlude and then join us for refreshments in Parish Hall. Thank you.
Thank you.